Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham said, each generation faces different issues and challenges, but our standard must always be measured by God's word, always. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, today, that you would, no matter what we're facing, you would help us to live by your holy word. And Lord, for if one would live a stable life, they must live by your holy word, not by their feelings, not by their friends, not by their foes, and but by your holy word. For man does not live, as your word tells us, by bread alone, but by your holy word. So Lord, help us to exalt your holy word as you do, and to live the blessed life, the balanced life, and the beneficial life, not only for ourselves, but for others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying the new common prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent, according to thy promises declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the family verses, Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, where God deals with all of the members of the family and their positions, the wife and mother, the husband and father, and the children. And there's another person at the table in your family. He should not be a welcome guest, even though some may welcome him. His name is the devil. And so God deals with him in this same passage. And nothing has hurt Christian families and all families more than the devil. Nothing has destroyed more families, and no one has destroyed more families than the devil and himself and the demons of hell. Ephesians chapter 6, we're dealing with the children now. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. And this is everybody who is a child of a parent, no matter the age. There are some things in here for you that God will bless you if you do. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In many cases, even if you are a teenager, a late teenager, a young adult, you have to bite your lip and obey. Bite your lip, and verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And honoring your parents is not all about getting them a gift or getting them a card for Father's Day and Mother's Day. Honoring your parents is all about respect. Respect them, show respect for them, show reverence to them, and take heed, listen to what they have to tell you, whether you take heed or not, but you honor them by taking heed to the wise and good things that you tell, they tell you. That they tell you. And rather than getting a card or a gift, even if it's a car or a house, that's all wonderful and well and dandy. But if you disrespect them, that will mean nothing to them. If you dishonor them, you're not willing to say thank you for the good that they did do for you, which is connected to dishonoring them, it will mean nothing at all. And if you can go everywhere else and talk to everybody else, but you can't talk to your parents in the Lord, who have shown great wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight in your life, then you're dishonoring your parents, and you're not obeying them. You're not showing the proper love for them. Verse 3 says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Stephen J. Cole writes in his commentary on this passage, the spirit-filled home is one where children obey and honor their parents, and parents nurture their children in the Lord. After commanding children to obey their parents, Paul cites the fifth of the Ten Commandments, adding a parenthetical comment, which is the first commandment with a promise. The Ten Commandments may be divided into two sections, each reinforcing the two greatest commandments. The first four commands spell out what it means to love the Lord our God. The last six commands spell out how to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Standing at the head of this second section, the commandment to honor our parents is foundational to keeping all the commandments that follow. If we truly honor our parents, we will not disgrace their name by becoming a murderer or committing adultery or being a prostitute or being a homosexual or stealing or lying and living a lie, being ungrateful and unthankful for the good that God has done in your life and the good that God has done in your life through your parents. For example, I give God the glory for, as I told you yesterday, for some traits that come from my dad and from my mom. I would not have them if it were not for them. My dad was a very loving man, not only to his children, but to other people. And I may not be as loving to other people, but I love my children. And I love them in a far better way than my dad did. Because sometimes love must be sweet, and sometimes love must be tough. And I have that balance by the grace of God, and he did not. His love was always sweet. To the great destruction and detriment of our family. I got from my mother toughness. I got from my mother the ability to understand the power of language and words and editing and all of that kind of thing. And she wrote in my high school yearbook, out of all things she could have said to me, she could have said, son, I love you and I thank God for you and so forth and so on. The only thing my mother wrote in my yearbook, my senior yearbook, was roll with the punches. Roll with the punches. Roll with the punches. And I shall never forget that. And I've had to roll with the punches, as she did throughout her life. You have to understand, my parents didn't have a chance. My dad didn't have a father. His father died before he could even know him. And my mother never had a father. His father divorced my grandmother. And the father took the boys and left her with her mother and her grandmother. A very sad situation. So I thank God for the good that they did in my life and passed on in my life. And as I have told my children, I have run my leg well. I'm passing on the baton to you. And I believe that every generation ought to get better. And the next set of children ought to turn out better than the previous set. And now it's up to my children, as I have passed the baton on to them. And it's time for them to run, and I pray that they would run well. But he goes on to say, if we truly honor our parents, we will not disgrace their name by becoming a homosexual, by becoming a lesbian, by committing acts of fornication and still lying and saying that I'm a virgin, committing the sin of thinking that other people's family that you really don't know are better than they're better than your family. The grass is always greener on the other side until you get on the other side. A murderer or committing adultery, forcing divorce. Do you know that your parents, even if they're divorced, don't want you to get a divorce? Isn't it interesting? They don't want you to get a divorce. They know how detrimental that is, how painful that is. It is a living death from many people have said something similar to that. Or stealing and robbing or lying, or by the greed and discontent underlying covetousness. So honoring our parents is foundational to all other relationships. Did you get that? Honoring our parents is foundational to all other relationships and duties in life. As I have shared with you in the past, we got children who run away and they run into the arms of some other older person or some other person, even in a church, and think that somehow they're going to have a wonderful relationship with other people when they hate and despise their parents. And I have news for you. If you don't get your heart right with your parents, you're not going to have a great relationship with anybody. You reap what you sow. Pardon me, and don't try to have children, because your children, the way you hate your parents and how you despise your parents, and you can't recognize any good that the parents did for you, which God wants you to, your children are going to hate you more. So don't even try to have children, because they're going to be monsters to you. You reap what you sow. All day long, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a woman soweth, that she shall also reap. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the idea of the family. We have messed that up as well, as you know, because of our wickedness and evil and sin and pride and stubbornness. But we thank you for creating the family. What a beautiful thing. What a great idea. And Lord, forgive us of our sins of messing it up by not obeying your rule book regarding the family found in your holy word. And so save those who are lost and those of us who are saved. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to obey your rule book, the Bible, on family life. And no matter if anybody likes it or not, it will work, and we will have way more peace and far more productivity in our family, because families ought to not only enjoy life together, but families ought to be productive and do great things together for your glory, praise, and honor. And we pray that millions of Christian families will get back to the old-fashioned way and get back to the old landmarks. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional passage from the Bible today is Psalm 119, 1 through 8. The Bible reads, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Are you doing that this morning, by the way? Are you seeking the Lord with your whole heart? As believers, we ought to humble ourselves, seek God's face, pray, and turn from our wicked ways. That is the way to genuine revival. Revival tarries, and revival will never come as long as we are not on revival ground. Don't blame God, blame yourself. You need to, back in, do you need to go? You. Huh? You don't need to go? Okay. Verse 3, "They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." Verse 4, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's how you ought to be praying right there. Lord, help me to keep your word. Amen, somebody. "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." God wants you to respect his word. respect his commandments. See, God has a problem with you dissing him. I touched on this the other day. See, this is why God wants you to understand the old principle that we don't hear about anymore, and that is fearing the Lord. Another old principle that we don't hear about anymore is that God is a jealous God. Amen, somebody. Oh, yes. See, all that goes together right there. All that goes together right there. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. See, and God has a problem with you dissing him. You diss God by not doing what he tells you to do. And by the way, we just got there talking about the family. Some parents need to tell their adult children to leave the children at home alone if they're not obeying what you have taught them and what you're telling them. They're disrespecting what you say. Therefore, they're disrespecting you, and they're leading the other younger children to disrespect you as well. You need to cut that off. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Your children who are still at home will be better off not even hearing from them if they're not going in the right direction. You know why? Because these children are in rebellion and stubbornness and foolishness. And all they're going to do is show them the shiny things of life when their life is not shining for Jesus. And you as a parent need to put your foot down. Stop trying to appease them. And stop letting them disrespect you. And if that means losing them, fine. You've already lost them if they're doing that. And so let them go. And God, I assure you, if they're out on their own, God will show them way better than you, baby. Don't you worry about a thing. That's if you've done your job now. And that's if you're right and you're doing what you're supposed to do. But don't let them destroy the other children with their demonic foolishness. Hold up straight. With their demonic foolishness from hell. So many young people have been messed up by older children who chose to go a demonic route, a foolish route, a stubborn and rebellious route that ends up shipwrecked. And may God help them if they are proud and stubborn and rebellious. May God help them. Particularly if they have satanic, pharaohistic pride. That kind of pride leads you to hell. That kind of pride destroys your life down to the ground and into hell itself. Verse 7 says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. And there's no real praise if there's no uprightness of heart. And uprightness of heart does not mean you're perfect. It means that you desire, as we prayed earlier, as we saw earlier when the man was praying, basically, you desire to do the right thing. It is your aim, your purpose, your goal to do that which is pleasing in God's sight. And even if you fail, you're willing to confess it as sin and repent. Amen, somebody. Confessing people can be upright. They are upright, but they're acknowledging their wickedness and their evil and their sin. Verse 7 says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Verse 8 says, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. My God, my God. Regarding this passage, Lord, help us to understand. Matthew Henry writes, this psalm may be considered as the statement of a believer's experience. As far as our views, desires, and affections agree with what is here expressed, they come from the influences of the Holy Spirit and no further. The pardoning mercy of God in Christ is the only source of a sinner's happiness. And those are most happy who are preserved most free from the defilement of sin, who simply believe God's testimonies and depend on His promises. If the heart be divided between him and the world, it is evil. But the saints carefully avoid all sin. They are conscious of much evil that clogs them in the ways of God, but not of that wickedness which draws them out of those ways. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word and the privilege to be able to read it freely, not only in where we are, but Lord, to spread it abroad around the world. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless us with that freedom. Forgive us of our sins of not reading your word as we should, of not studying it, and of not obeying it. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit to read your holy word, study it, take heed to it, and obey it, and hide it in our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Join me, ladies and gentlemen, for praying for the estates, rather. You know what the estates are, so let's get right to it. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Don't complain. Don't whine. You say, well, my church used to be a perfect church. That's right, it used to be, because since you joined it, it has not been perfect. So stop complaining and understand. Oftentimes people who complain about an organization, complain about a church, or complain about the pastor, complain about the family they came out of, they're the biggest problem in the family. They're the biggest problem in the church. Is a sad state of affairs when people don't understand that. So pray for your pastor, pray for his wife and family, and pray for, believe me, they're going through hell if they're striving to do God's will. And pray for your church and for the unity of the peace among the brethren and the sistren. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will help us to cease in the church praying for revival, but to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves and get on praying ground. Holy Father God, we pray for governmental leaders based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. We pray for President Donald Trump, who, Lord, as you know, was in his element last night. He was in rare form, and looking victorious by your grace, even though he has many haters. And we pray for him, and we pray for the many haters. We pray that, and we pray that you would lead him and guide him and direct him in the way that you want him to go. Give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and help the pastors that surround him to disciple him and to becoming more of a Christian man who lives by biblical principles. And we pray for his administration, and we pray salvation, spiritual, family life, protection and provision, blessings upon him and his family and his administration. We pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump. We pray these blessings upon Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Deputy Assistant and Strategist Ira A. Greenstein, all leaders of federal agencies, including Attorney General Jeff Sessions, all state governors, including Alabama Governor Kay Ivey, all city mayors, including Durham, North Carolina Mayor Bill Bell, all members of Congress, including California Representative Linda Sanchez, all law enforcement officials, including Buffalo, New York Police Commissioner Daniel Dorinda, all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis, Admiral Michael S. Rogers, Director of the National Security Agency and Commander of U.S. Cyber Command, leaders of nations around the world, Iran Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. I know that some folks would not want us to pray for him, but we pray for his salvation, open his blinded eyes and unstop his deaf ears before he dies and goes to hell. We pray for President Hassan Rouhani. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and our modern day David Benjamin Netanyahu, who, a man you've given the grace to do a great job in protecting the little country called Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And you've given him wisdom to do so. And we thank you. And Holy Father God, we pray for the people and the citizens, those who don't know your Savior, have your Holy Gospel and your Holy Spirit to find their hearts and not give them rest until they come to know your Savior. We also pray for the media. We pray for the traditional media and the online media, that you would save those who are lost, who are involved, and strengthen those who are saved, who are involved, and that they all would tell the truth and not just go for clicks and not just go for money. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray for current events and current affairs around the world, not to inform you but to obey you, to pray for others. We pray for the comfort of the families of three individuals killed in a hostage situation at a VA facility in California. What a tragedy. Something totally out of the blue here. And this was a place that was really doing good work. And we pray that it would continue. We pray for California, out in California, rather. We pray for the comfort of the families of over 20 people killed in suicide bombings in Afghanistan on Friday. We pray for continued strength and provisions for those still recovering from last year's hurricanes in Puerto Rico, the Caribbean, Florida, the Gulf region, and Southeast Texas. We also pray for the prayer requests that have come in, totaling into the hundreds. And we pray for a few here by name, but we pray for everybody that you grant salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon them and us by your grace and your mercy and your love. And Lord, we pray for Yusuf. Please bless his life. We pray that you would bless his family, church, and ministry as well. We pray for Vicky. Please save and be with Teresa. We pray for Umesh. Please bless the 85 pastors who are helping with the church planting outreach and ministry. Bless the social work for the needy, children and bless them with people who will sponsor and partner with them. We pray for Adriana. Please save her family, heal her daughter mentally, and give her true joy. We pray for Paya. Please save and heal her family and break all ancestral curses. And we pray that for every family, for there are some serious things going on in our past generations that we're still dealing with today. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and help us to be the disciples of the disciples. We pray for Godfrey, Felix, Brianna, and we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus, who were saved and came back to you through the preaching of the gospel. And we pray for these blessings to rest upon all of the people who have gotten saved and who rededicated their life to you. We pray for Jacob. We pray for Lowen, and we pray for Anne. And we commit every soul into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. And Lord, these are just the people who are written in. We pray for the thousands that we believe have gotten saved and who never wrote in. Lord, for I would have been one of those. I would have never written in myself unless to get some free material. Maybe we need to start doing that. But Lord, bless these folks and bless our lives. We commit them to you, into your hands, and we commit our lives into your hands. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled The Power of Speech by Dr. Billy Graham, the great man of God and evangelist that God used and who is now home with the Lord. He said, James 4:7, he starts it out, this devotional out with James 4:7, which says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. You have a tongue and a voice. These instruments of speech can be used destructively or employed constructively. You can use your tongue to slander, to gripe, to scold, to nag people, and to quarrel. Or you can bring it under the control of God's Spirit and make it an instrument of blessing and praise, and from the great evangelist, a witness for the Lord. The 20th century version of James 3:3 says, when we put bits into the horses' mouths to make them obey us, we control the rest of their bodies also. Just so when we submit to the claims of Christ upon our lives, our untamed natures are brought under his control. Amen, somebody. We become meek, humble, tamed, and fit for the master's service. And if you're claiming to have been saved for 20, 30 years, and you're still not tamed, there's something wrong somewhere. You need to examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. Can somebody say amen? Because God will tame you. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the good advice and ideas from others. And Lord God in heaven, have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Crush and crucify our flesh, the old man within us, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Change us from the inside out. Lord, if there's some sickness or illness in our bodies, Lord, everywhere we pray that you would bless it and bless our bodies and heal our bodies. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, in closing, if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, you need to do that today. Allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I did December the 19th, 1979. And it's been the greatest ride to be saved and to know Jesus Christ as my Savior and to serve him. I said it before and I'll say it again. I know I deserve hell. If I went to hell, which I'm not, I would not give anything for the life that Christ has blessed me to live. And I would not give anything for the privilege that I've had to serve Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I mean that. And so I offer to you today the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ died for your sins as well, your failures, your bad decisions. And he was buried and then he rose again on the third day. So dear friend, first accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment always for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin, and we die spiritually because of sin. Our body goes to the funeral home and then to the grave. Our soul goes straight to hell immediately when we die if we are not saved, if we have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You may have happened upon us here this morning, and you know not why. I will tell you why. It is a divine appointment for you to be here. And God wants you to hear the gospel. If you reject Jesus, if you reject the gospel again, or if it's your first time, you will go to hell if you die today for any reason. So thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else to go to hell. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that is bad news. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will do it. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend of mine, if you are willing to believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, then join me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, in prayer, as we pray the sinner's prayer together. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell and to give you a home in heaven. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.